Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone's fixed up with translations? I guess so. I don't know how to say in the various languages. So, this is a seminar on the preface to Srila Prabhupada's rendition of Rupa Goswami's Sri Upadeshamrita, The Nectar of Instruction. It's quite short. I'll read it all now and then we'll go through line by line. But actually, if we go through it line by line in some detail, there's no way we're going to finish it in 4 days, because that's why I want to do this seminar and this preface, because it's so rich. There's so much in it that it would take many, many books, many discussions to discuss all the points here. So every time I read this, I find it's so valuable. So I thought to talk more about it now. Let's read the whole preface first of all. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. There's one big statement right there. The Gauriya Vaishnavas or Bengali Vaishnavas are mostly followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of whom the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are direct disciples. Therefore, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti, Kabe Hama Bujabo She Jugal Piriti. When I am eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in order to bestow upon human society the benediction of the science of Krishna. The most exalted of all the activities of Lord Krishna are his pastimes of conjugal love with the gopis. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, the best of the gopis. Therefore, to understand the mission of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and follow in his footsteps, one must very seriously follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta, and Das Raghunath. Sri Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis, and to guide our activities, he gave us this Upadeshamrita, the nectar of instruction, to follow. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left behind him the 8 verses known as Shikshashtaka, Rupa Goswami gave us Upadeshamrita so that we may become pure Vaishnavas. In all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, Sattagun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. Advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the follower. A follower of the Krishna consciousness movement should become a perfect Goswami. Vaishnavas are generally known as Goswamis. In Vrindavan, this is the title by which the director of each temple is known. One who wants to become a perfect devotee of Krishna must become a Goswami. Go means the senses and Swami means the master. Unless one controls his senses and mind, one cannot become a Goswami. To achieve the highest success in life by becoming a Goswami and then a pure devotee of the Lord, one must follow the instructions known as Upadeshamrita, which have been given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Rupa Goswami has given many other books such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhav, and Lalita Madhav. But Upadeshamrita contains the first instructions for neophyte devotees. One should follow these instructions very strictly. then it will be easier to make one's life successful. Hare Krishna. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, September 20th, 1975, Vishwarup Mahotsav, Krishna Balaram Mandir, Raman Reti, Vrindavan, India. The first sentence. The Krishna consciousness movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. Rupanuga. The term is there, Rupanuga. Mundane scholars, be careful of them, very dangerous. Crocodiles. Crocodiles are dangerous. In the river, in the estuary, there's a crocodile. It looks like a piece of wood. It looks like something harmless, but it's very dangerous, so be careful. The mundane scholars, they talk about Chaitanya-ite Vaishnavas or Chaitanya Sampradaya. But the people they're referring to, they don't call themselves that. The identification is given Gaudiya or Rupanuga. Why not Chaitanya? What's wrong with saying Chaitanya Vaishnavas? Well, it's not really wrong, but as mundane scholars always do, they miss the point. Is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he didn't reveal to the world, he came to reveal to the world, what he came to reveal to the world was revealed through Rupa Goswami. Therefore we say, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Soyang Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Mano Bhishta, his heart's desire, is established in the world by Rupa Goswami. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he came to give, again, the mundane scholars, they read Chaitanya Charitamrita and come up with the conclusion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was epileptic or something like this. So, what he came to give, this Swarup Damodar Goswami in his karcha or notebook, he made the note, Anarpita Chirin Chirat Karunya Avatirno Kalo Samapiyatamanu Tajvat Vela Raso Swabhakti Shriyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the topmost resplendent Unatajvala Rasa, the highest rasa. Or rasa is that which is experienced in exchange with Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this, but he personally relished that, and Swarup Damodar Goswami appreciated that, but Rupa Goswami was the other one, apart from Swarup Damodar, who could understand what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner desire. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he didn't tell anyone else. He wrote it in his notebook. But Rupa Goswami, he made that available to others. That's described that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he came to visit Rupa Goswami, who had gone to bathe in the sea at that time, in Puri. And Rupa Goswami had written a verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to, in the Rathiatra particularly, he used to sing a verse which no one could understand why he's singing this. It sounds like some mundane love lyrics, which actually it is. It's taken from mundane poetry. But Rupa Goswami could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani expressing Chaitanya Radharani's sentiments at Kurukshetra, where you were talking about that yesterday, where Radharani and the gopis, they had found that a god Krishna after such a long time. They were wanting to meet Krishna, but they got him, but not quite. They almost got. It's the same Krishna, but this is, we can't. This is not the Krishna we know. We know Krishna in the village of Vrindavan. So they wanted to take him to Vrindavan. So the Rath Yatra is, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, is Radharani pulling by the force of her love, forcibly bringing Jagannath from the place of opulence to Vrindavan. So this highly esoteric meaning was understood by Swarup Damodar Goswami and by Rupa Goswami, and Rupa Goswami, he made that known. Swarup Damodar was very secretive about that, it seems. He didn't reveal that to others. But then, on the basis of Rupa Goswami revealing that, then Chaitanya Charitamrita was written, and then the whole Gauriya culture of how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he's come to relish the feelings of Radharani in love for Krishna. What is the sweetness of Krishna? So this highest position of the Gauriya, the highest theology, beyond theology, when Krishna is, when God is no longer seen as God, other religious processes may talk of love of God, and there may be what are called mystic traditions in other, what are called religions. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to give a process by which everyone can appreciate God in the way that he likes to be appreciated most of all, when he's not appreciated as God. This theology means ultimately to understand the personality of Godhead. That in itself most people don't approach, because the idea of there being a personality of, or the it's not a concept, it's reality, but as it's conceived, it's not possible to conceive in the materially contaminated mind that there is the personality of Godhead, because the materially contaminated mind means envious of the personality of Godhead. So when one crosses beyond envy, then he can accept that there is the personality of Godhead. But even for those who are able to accept that there is the personality of Godhead, they take the Godhead more as being important than the personality. Although to him himself, his personality is more important than his being Godhead. For him, it's more pleasing for him to be taunted by the gopis and tied up by his mother than prayed to by the great rishis and munis. So this is the pinnacle of theological understanding, going beyond theology. When God himself, he's not so much interested in being God as being with his friends, because he's a person. And a person doesn't, for a person, his friends are more important than his formal function. Srila Prabhupada once gave the example of Gladstone, who was known as he was the Prime Minister of Britain during the Empire times. So he was more powerful than George Bush today. He's very powerful, and he was known as being a really dry person. He was very severe and hard. And in the parliament, he would just look at people, and just by his look, they would dry up. They wouldn't dare to say anything. He was such a heavy person. So one person, Prabhupada told the story, had an appointment with Gladstone to meet him in his office. And he was waiting outside and waiting and waiting, and he didn't want to disturb because he thought that, you know, it's very important, the Prime Minister of the whole British Empire. But eventually he was thinking that what important thing is he doing? Let me just have a little look and see what he's doing that's so important. Maybe he's declaring war on Russia or something. It's something very major he must be doing. So let me just look. If I can't have my appointment, let me just look and see what he's doing. So he just slowly opened the door and quietly put his head in and saw Gladstone down on his hands and knees with his grandson on his back saying, "Get up, horse!" Gladstone had become a horse for his grandson. And no one else can do that. A little boy who is completely insignificant, he can do that. If anyone else, if his political rivals, or if they said to get on his back, he'd have them thrown in prison. But his grandson can do. Out of love, it's accepted. So this is a very big topic. I'm not going to go into it in detail. But the point is that Rupa Goswami has revealed what is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, this is known as the Rupanuga Sampradaya. Followers of Rupa Goswami. That means following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we don't say Chaitanya Ait Vaishnavas. Because our connection is specifically through Rupa Goswami. There are many others who claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they are not accepted by genuine Rupanuga devotees. For instance, there are those who interpret Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the Nadia Naga or Gaur Naga. They don't follow Rupa Goswami, who revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayana. They take it that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he's Krishna, so just as Krishna enjoyed with the gopis of Vrindavan, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed with the young girls of Nadia. But this is an offense to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's disturbing his leela, in which he wants himself to take the position not of the... Although he is the supreme enjoyer, he himself wants to take the... to enjoy more... He understands that more enjoyment is felt by the gopis and Radharani. He's the supreme enjoyer, but I'm not getting the supreme enjoyment because I'm the supreme enjoyer. And it's more enjoyable to love me than to be the enjoyer. So he wants to forget that position of being the supreme enjoyer and take the position of the supreme lover, supreme servant, actually. That's how Anaya Aradita Nunam. That the supreme lover means the supreme servant. So specifically, if you say Chaitanya Sampradaya, that could mean anything. There are so many people who misinterpret what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings and mission. But Rupa Goswami has given what he is, as is stated in this preface, he is the leader of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And he gave the direction. They wrote so many books, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan wrote so many books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write books. He gave us Shikshashtaka. But he specifically spoke to Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami to describe to... He gave his teachings to them and told them to write books. So they wrote the books which defined the Sampradaya. And of course, Jiva Goswami also, under the direction of Rupa and Sanatan, He wrote the books which philosophically defined the Sampradaya and sent the devotees, Srinivas, Narottam, Shamananda, to propagate that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to be understood through Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. And we may say, well, what's ISKCON got to do with Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami was sitting under a different tree every night and with just a kopin and kanta. Tyaktva turanama shesha mandala pati shrining sada tuchavat bhutva dina ganesha ko karunaya kopina kanta shrito. They gave up all opulence to live with kopin, which means a loincloth, and kanta, which means a patchwork quilt. That means whether when someone's cloth is worn out, the poor people, instead of throwing it away, they keep all the torn cloth, they put it together and make a quilt. And that keeps you warm in the winter. So that's how they were living. They were living in apparent poverty. So what's all this big buildings and we're all flying here by plane? What's this got to do with Rupa Goswami? Some people ask that. They also fly by plane to India, and when they come here, they go to Radha Kund and put on a short cloth and imitate Rupa Goswami. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they took out or extracted or magnified the principle of what is Yukta Vairagya. These two verses, Prapancha Kataya Bhudya Hari Sambandhi Vastuni, what is that? Mamukshu? Mamukshabi Parityago Vairagyam Falgu Katyate. And an asaktasya vishaya netarham upayunjataha nibandha krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. These two verses were put on every issue of the Gauriya magazine of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as the key to understand this Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, that what is the heart's desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that was revealed to the world by Rupa Goswami. And another of his, or an inseparable part of his Mano Bhishta, is Priti Vite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram Savatra Pracha Hoibe Moranam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name and teaching should be spread all over the world. It's not just meant for a few people. So the key for fulfilling the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is understanding what is yukta vairagya, what is appropriate renunciation. That Rupa Goswami, he and all the six Goswamis, they lived in what appeared to be poverty. But that's not necessarily the standard of a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that you have to live in great poverty. He said that one should bhaja Krishna, bolo Krishna, karo Krishna, shiksha. One should cultivate Krishna consciousness. Sthane sthita shruti gatang manuvang manobhir. One remaining in one's position, one should cultivate Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Rai was one of the intimate followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lived in opulence. He was very rich, and when he, as the governor of the southern part of Prataparudra Maharaj's kingdom, so when he retired early to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in discussing Krishna Katha, Maharaj Prataparudra gave you keep your full salary. So he remained as a rich man. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't tell him that you leave everything, you give up everything. Our own Srila Prabhupada asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he asked him, How is it that Ramananda Rai was living as a wealthy householder and Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis, they were living in poverty, under trees, giving up everything? How is it? Is one more renounced than the other, or what's the standard? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that what is appropriate for each one to serve, that they adopt. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, who is known as a lifelong brahmachari, he said, if I could produce pure devotees, I'd be willing to have sex 100 times. He wasn't against the principle of having sex, but whatever is appropriate for service, that's the whole point. It's if one can serve Krishna better by living in opulence, then one should do so. Then to renounce everything in that case, to like the Jains, there's so many rich, not so many, but some rich Jain, the Jain community, they're often very rich merchants, diamond merchants. And if one of them decides, when they become renounced, they become so renounced, they pull the hairs out of their head. They become, and some of them walk around naked, the Digambara sect. So when they renounce, they do it in style. They go on a chariot and they throw diamonds in the street. But what is the value? Someone will pick it up, sell it, and drink booze. So, or whatever they do with it, if it's not Krishna conscious, then by throwing diamonds, it may seem that you're renouncing, but you're actually helping people go to hell. So there's no value in such renunciation. But the point is service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is praised as Rupa Anuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari, he who removes the darkness of the misconceptions that are against the siddhantic, or philosophical, for want of a better term, conclusions of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Now he himself, he was living just north of here, at Vrajapatan, that's now Sri Chaitanya Math. He was living there before this was established, chanting Hare Krishna day and night. And he lived in a little hut, and don't bring anything. I'm sorry. He was living in a little hut and eating rice once a day that he cooked himself, lying down on the bare floor. And when it rained, as it rains very heavily here for about 4 months a year, the hut would leak. He would have a little umbrella left hand and go on chanting. He was living as austerely as Gorky Shah does, Babaji Maharaj. Of course, for these devotees, there's for them it's not austerity. For us, we can't imagine. If we fast on Ekadashi, we think that's a big austerity. But for them, it's not austerity. For them, it's austerity to have to waste time eating and sleeping. That's what they would consider that austerity. They're in a different platform altogether. But at least from external appearances, he appeared to be a very highly renounced person. And later when he took sannyas, then later on he had big mats and cars and leather shoes. You can see at Chaitanya Math in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's house, his leather shoes are still there. And he would meet with big important people. So it appeared that after he took sannyas, he became less renounced. He was more renounced before he took sannyas. It often appears like that in ISKCON too. Some austere brahmachari takes sannyas and then, oh, what happened? You have silk cloth. He used to take the bus and now you go by taxi. So it appeared that he became less renounced. But actually there was no difference in his renunciation before sannyas or after. He wasn't consciously renouncing anything because he didn't have any sense of owning anything. One who has the sense of owning something, they can think of renouncing it. That's called falgu vairagya, or trivial or useless renunciation. But real renunciation is seeing everything in relationship to Krishna and implying everything in Krishna's service. So all these buildings, if they're actually used in Krishna's service, then that is according to the principle of yukta vairagya. And if they're used for sense gratification, as Srila Prabhupada says, if you collect money in the name of Krishna, if you use one farthing, which means one cent or one paisa or one kopek, if you use one farthing for sense gratification, then you go to hell. So it is dangerous taking money for Krishna, in the name of taking it for Krishna, if we don't use it for Krishna. But then it's also dangerous to imitate Rupa Goswami. Here Prabhupada says that the Krishna Conscious Movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami. What's the important word here? Under. Under the supervision. We are under this important word in Gauriya Siddhanta. Anugatya. Prabhupada often used to say submission, surrender. Nowadays we hear many times the word prem being used. It's a commonly used word. And of course that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. That Varaja Jubatiya Bhavera Bhakati. He came to reveal the prem bhav of the gopis of Vrindavan that is described in this Upadeshamrita. The essence of all advice is to remain, to live in Vrindavan and all the time be absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna and bathing in Radha Kund. So often devotees ask about, well, why we should bathe in Radha Kund, it's said in Upadeshamrita, we should live in Vrindavan. So I say, yeah, do it, by all means. But first, follow verse 1 of Upadeshamrita. Vacho Vegam. Start at the beginning, and when we've done all that, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Upasta Vegam, Etan Vegan Yo Vishaheta Dhira Sarvamapi Mam Pridiving Sashishat. So that's also suggested there that you do all those things and then you preach, make disciples. If you can control your senses, then you're fit to give shasham, to give discipline to others, make shishas. So under the supervision, surrender, submission. Prabhupada used these terms a lot. We didn't hear him use the word prem as much as he used the word surrender, submission. Why is that? Some people say it's because he was on a lower standard. That shows they're foolish. I mean, because we're on a lower standard. Not the Prabhupada. That is so stupid. They think because Prabhupada was on a lower standard, he didn't talk of prem so much. Because we're on a lower standard, to help us to come to the higher standard, Prabhupada has stressed the need for surrender and submission. It's not that you just get... Of course we hear, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you bathe in the Ganga on the Gaur Purnima day in Mayapur, then you're blessed with prem. Or there's some stotram, Radha Sahasranam stotram, something like this. It says if one recites this standing in Radha Kund, then you'll get prem. So I was told one devotee, it takes about 2 hours to recite it. He recited the whole thing. Thought, okay, now I should get prem. He got up out of the water and he saw he left the last page on the bank. So, So he missed. He didn't do the whole thing. Could have gone back. But then again, we see that so many people, they bathe in Radha Kund. Okay, now I've got prema. And then, you know, half an hour later, you see them back in Vrindavan at the lassi store. So what happened to the... They're getting prema in the lassi, or what's going on? They appear to be attracted to sense gratification. So how is that? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that one can actually bathe in... again the question comes. Narad Muni, cannot, he aspires to bathe in Radha Kund, and we will just go and, you know, jump in, hurry bowl. Is it such an easy thing? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that one can actually bathe there in one's spiritual body. When one has developed spiritual body, then one can actually bathe there. So just as Rupa Goswami Prabhupada recommended bathing in Radha Kund, so Radha Kund means water, no? So Rupa Goswami has given us not just a kund, but a whole sindhu, a whole ocean called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you take bath in that. Bathe in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That will be your Radha, that is Radha Kund. There's no different. So under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami means, what does that mean? That, well, we just read the books of Rupa. Here, Prabhupada translates, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Kobe Hama Bhujibo Se Jugal Piriti. When I'm eager, Prabhupada translates this, when I'm eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, then I shall be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. If we read the Bengali here, there's no mention of literature. There's no such... It means when I have, it literally means when I have eagerness for the feet of Rupa and Raghunath. So there's no mention of literature. But Prabhupada has translated this, when I'm eager to understand the literature given by the Goswamis, Tobe Hama Bhujbo Se Jugal Piriti, then I'll be able to understand the transcendental loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. So our crocodile, or not ours, we're not part of them, the crocodiles will say, you see, this is Prabhupada's interpretation. But that's what it means to follow the six Goswamis. How will we follow? They have given us their, what they have got, they have given us in the form of literature. So to follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis means to understand their literature. Prabhupada, he said that by reading my books, one gets in contact with the previous acharyas. So the, particularly the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and all the acharyas, they have given us invaluable books. The Bhagavatam commentaries and the original, the works of the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, he has given us this Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and so many other books. Srila Prabhupada, he translated Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as the most important books for understanding what are the gifts of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this, what does it mean that we understand Rupa Goswami? Does that mean that, well, theoretically, if one learns Sanskrit, then you can go, you can read Rupa Goswami's works directly. You can do. You can read Sanskrit, you can learn Sanskrit if you have enough brain and time and inclination. You can read. You can read Srimad Bhagavatam directly. But that doesn't mean that one will understand. Because the principle, as given in the literature of the Goswamis, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Gopi Anugatya is mentioned this term. One has to be under the guidance of the gopis. So this principle of submission means that one can't... What does it mean under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami? Does that mean that all the acharyas in between have there's no importance? The supervision is coming down through parampara. It's not that we can go directly and we'll understand. And even if we do try to go directly, that automatically by going directly we are certain not to understand. Because we have flaunted the principle, overstepped the principle of parampara. We cannot understand directly. This sampradaya is under the direction of Rupa Goswami, but that direction comes through his representatives who clarify everything, or they clarify and magnify what the previous acharyas have given. What Rupa Goswami has given is complete and perfect. So you may think, what need is there to go to anyone else? Because our understanding is not complete and perfect. Therefore, we need to understand through the present acharyas. And even if we read the book, still, in every, just like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has quoted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Krishna Tulla Bhagavat Bibhu Sarva Shroy Prati Shloke Prati Akkare Nana Artha Koi. That the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. It is like Krishna, powerful and can give complete shelter to all, and every verse and every syllable has many meanings. Various meanings. Of course, in one sense you can say the meaning of every shloka and every syllable of Bhagavatam is Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how we relate to him, that cannot be described even in millions of books. So, what the acharyas have given, even though it's so vast, still it's only a beginning. Because there's no end. So what the six Goswamis have given is complete and perfect. But the method, they've also given us the complete and perfect method to approach that, which is through the parampara. And the various acharyas in the parampara, they make their contribution. The contributions that they make are eternal. They're not limited by time and space. That means that what Rupa Goswami gave, that is true for all times, places and circumstances. His contribution of knowledge of Krishna. But at the same time, they also present, the acharyas present what they have to present in terms also of their immediate audience. So that also has to be understood and appreciated. Just like in Srila Prabhupada's books, there are some statements which had, previous to Srila Prabhupada's preaching mission in the Western world, there was no need for any such statement. That Prabhupada writes how it is acceptable for a devotee in certain circumstance to wear secular dress for preaching Krishna consciousness. So there was no need of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Sanatana Goswami and Hari Bhakti Vilas saying you wear a secular dress. There's no need. Because everyone wore what we would call Vedic dress, although some people who are very great scholars, they don't believe there's any such thing as Vedic dress. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was the first major acharya to preach Krishna consciousness in a time when Western dress had started to gain some popularity among Indians. Now it's universal among Indians. If someone wears a dhoti, that's considered unusual in India now. But it used to be. I remember you go to towns, especially outside Delhi or Bombay, and you wouldn't see anyone in pants and shirt. And everyone was wearing a dhoti or a vesti or like this. Even I used to see Muslims in West Bengal wearing dhotis also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first to point out that this certain kind of dress is pleasing, or it's anukul, it's favorable for devotion to wear the dress that is dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaura Bhakta Priya Vesha Dadhamana Tilak Tulasi Mala Shobhamana. He's in the statements of what's favorable, it's good for bhakti to wear the kind of dress that is pleasing to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to have tilak, to be beautified by tilak and tulsi mala. So he was pointing that out. But Prabhupada said that yes, you can go in ordinary secular dress for preaching. There's no objection. So that kind of comment, that would not have been necessary in previous times. And hopefully in future it won't be necessary either, when everyone in the whole world is wearing dhotis and saris and other dress like this. So it, even though the statements of the acharyas are there, we have to understand what are absolute principles and what are stated with a specific audience in mind. Even in Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada said, my books are the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. But it requires some intelligence that means realized intelligence, not ABC, book intelligence, but by which one cannot understand anything about spiritual life. It's a disqualification. So we have to understand when Prabhupada translates the seventh canto of Bhagavatam and describes the dress and activities of a sannyasi or a brahmachari, they're not the same as he introduced. You may say, well, he's not following Shastra. You see, a brahmachari should wear a mekhala, it's a kind of belt, and carry a stick. All those descriptions are there. But one who understands the principle of Shastra, Yukta Vairagya, he understands how to apply the principle of Shastra to fulfill the purpose of Shastra, which is that the followers of Shastra should progress toward the stage of pure love of Krishna. And particularly, what Rupa Goswami has given is beyond Shastra. It is Shastra, but it's beyond Shastra in the sense that there are certain things which the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have given, which if we want to justify, or by the normal Shastric method, then we can't. Because there are certain features of Godhead, the very fact that He is the personality of Godhead, which are Vedeshu Durlabha. If we are to, they're not easily found in the Vedas. The Vedas, they establish mostly this principle of the tattva of Hari, the Supreme Lord, being supreme, that He is supreme is established. But His personality, the two aspects of the Supreme Personality of God, that He is Sarva Shaktim, He is all-powerful, and Rasabdhim, He is an ocean of rasa. So the Shastra doesn't directly deal with this very much, because it's intimate, it's private. Just like the Prime Minister, there may be much discussion of his formal activities, but what he does at home and how his wife chastises him, why are you always coming home late, and that's his private affair. His wife might, you know, slap him in the face or something. For his wife or his mother, for his mother, the Prime Minister is always her child. Doesn't matter he's the Prime Minister. She's always his child. And it doesn't matter how powerful he becomes. To her, he's always her child. And the fact that he's Prime Minister is very much secondary. It doesn't affect the relationship between them. Even in public, she might stand very formally. But in her vision, it's her son. So that's the private affair. That's not a public matter. So Rupa Goswami has given dramas about Krishna's intimate affairs. That's not meant for everyone. That's not meant for public distribution. We don't go out in the public and give a public lecture on how the Krishna is calling the gopis at night. That's not meant for public distribution. But at the same time, Krishna comes to this world to show this, and it should be broadcast among those who have the adhika, or the qualification. So Rupa Goswami has written books which people who are very much fixed in the method of understanding Shastra by the formal method, they can't accept it. They think it's just his imagination. They'll stress very strongly, yes, we accept the per. They'll other Vaishnavas, they may be very strongly against Madhvacharya, very strongly against Mayavad and establishing Hari Sarvottam. He's Lord Hari, Krishna or Vishnu is supreme. But what is the nature of his supremacy? They remain at a distance from that. And they don't accept the logical conclusion of his supremacy, that he is a person with intimate, loving affairs. He's not just the supreme overlord, but he's the supreme lover. So Rupa Goswami has revealed that. How are we to understand it? Through the parampara system. It's not by simply reading. We may think that, well, I know Sanskrit, so I can go directly to the Shastra, because Rupa Goswami was a pandit and Jiva Goswami was a pandit, so I'm also a pandit and I can go directly to Shastra and understand. But it's not just a matter of having knowledge of grammar. Even who is there who's a scholar like Jiva Goswami? It's very foolish. People give their commentaries on the so-called scholars give their commentaries on Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, and they'll criticize, but they don't consider you are commenting on him because he's much more important than you. What have you got to offer? You're an outsider, a commentator. So even from the mundane point of view, the level of scholarship of the Goswami was far greater than anyone in the world today. And in fact, it was a normal thing in India up until maybe 100 or 150 years ago, that there were so many highly scholarly people. But those who are real scholars, they accept the parampara system. It doesn't matter, however scholarly you may be, the point is, it's understood that you cannot understand without following the parampara. Even the Mayavadis, at least superficially, they accept the principle that the knowledge of Shastra is not revealed simply by one's own brain power, but one has to be blessed by serving the Guru who will reveal that knowledge. Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashito. This Narottam Das Thakur sang about Lokanath Goswami. From the point of view of scholarship, Narottam Das was apparently much more learned than Lokanath Goswami. He was a disciple of Jiva Goswami. To be a disciple of Jiva Goswami, direct disciple, is personally taught by him, is no ordinary thing. Narottam Das Thakur wrote mostly in simple Bengali, but he was highly learned in Sanskrit. He studied under Jiva Goswami directly. But he said about Lokanath Goswami that Dibya Gyan Hriday Prakashito, that whatever you learn, that will not be revealed, that is revealed by the mercy of the Guru. So this principle that we are working under the supervision of Srila Rupa Goswami, how is this to be understood? This statement is so important, but at the same time it cannot be understood out of context with all the other teachings of Srila Prabhupada. That doesn't mean that we'll just directly go to Rupa Goswami and we'll read his books directly and we'll forget everything else. All we see is Rupa Goswami has written one thing, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it's written, one should begin the worship of Ganesh. Prabhupada has translated it, but he didn't do that. He didn't institute that. He discouraged that. Then why? Then we have to understand. Then the devotees asked Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, we worship the pure devotees. Ganesh is Vigna Vinashana. He destroys any material obstacles on that may interrupt our service activities. But the pure devotees, they destroy Ajoy Gosai, Jar, Muitaro Das, Tara Hoite Bignanash. What is that? How does that work? Tan. Sri Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghana, Sri Jeev Gopala Bhatta. Ajoy Gosai, Jar, Muitaro Das, Tasabara Pele, Renima, Mora Pancha. How does that verse go? And where does that Vigna Vinash come? Say it again. Jaha hoite bignanash obishta puram, yes. By them, all the obstacles are destroyed, the obstacles on the path of bhakti, and our desire is fulfilled. Actually, that Abhishta Pura. We also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has his Mano Abhishta, and our Abhishta should be to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is that? Guru Vaishnava Bhagavane Tine Swaran. Tine Swarane Hoi Bigna Binasha. And also Krishadas Kaviraj says the same thing. By remembering, we should remember Guru Vaishnava and Bhagavan, and by remembering them, all the obstacles in the path of devotion are destroyed. So the Krishna Conscious Movement is conducted under the supervision of Srila Goswami. That means that we should follow his instructions. His supervision is anvayavyatireka bhim, both directly and indirectly. By the instructions he's given in his books, and by his blessings and good wishes, those who are following the instructions in his books, they get they're blessed as he was blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Swarup Damodar, he knew Swarup Damodar, he knows what is my heart. He is non-different. Swarup Damodar is non-different from Chaitanya. He knows everything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. So Swarup Damodar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, how could Rupa Goswami possibly, how could he understand what was in my heart? He asked Swarup Damodar, because Swarup Damodar understands. And Swarup Damodar said, because you must have blessed him with the understanding previously. Therefore he could write this. So in the same way, those who are one with the desire of the previous acharyas, they are blessed with them, with understanding. One, the desire to serve, as you were emphasizing yesterday in the class. Vigna Vinashan, Narasimha Maharaj, was emphasizing we have to serve, the desire to serve. So when we're one with that desire, then everything is revealed, as Prabhupada summarizes this. He said, everything else will be revealed. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva gun, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami, and then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed by the grace of the acharyas. So indirectly, we can say, through their books, we get instruction. That is the monument, it's fixed, what to follow. How to follow? We have to follow through the acharyas who are one with the heart of Rupa Goswami, who is one with the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those who do so, they are blessed with understanding. So they direct link for the great acharyas, their link is through the parampara and direct also. Prabhupada, he was once, someone said to Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, someone said that when you were living at Radha Damodar temple, you used to directly talk with Rupa Goswami. Is it true? And Prabhupada said, well, everyone knows that. That someone from that time was describing how Prabhupada, in the middle of the night while living at Radhadar temple, to any appearances, just like, you know, there's so many people who come and retire and live in Vrindavan, so he was just one of them, but in the middle of the night he'd be at Rupa Goswami's samadhi praying, talking to Rupa Goswami. So directly, and in Prabhupada is taking guidance through the parampara directly from Rupa Goswami. And the Krishna conscious movement is conducted under the supervision. Means if we follow his instructions, if we're sincere to follow his instructions, then certainly he will guide us. We have this term which has been coined from Rupa Anuga, Prabhupada Anuga. And say Prabhupada Anuga. And that's sometimes used by some people to think that, well, you just follow Prabhupada, you don't need to follow anyone else in between. But Rupa Anuga doesn't mean that. Rupa Anuga means you follow who comes after Rupa Goswami also. The method to follow Rupa Goswami is to follow his followers in disciplic succession. So Prabhupada Anuga, if one is actually to follow him, then one must know what, just like if we're to follow Rupa Goswami, how shall we do? Not just by sticking his picture on the wall. We have to know what his teachings are, how they're received in parampara. And we have to see who is following in that spirit. The spirit and the form may not be the same. Persons who dress themselves in off-white short clothes and loiter around Loi Bazaar, they may think themselves to be following Rupa Goswami. But someone who dresses himself in Western secular dress and goes into the airport in Los Angeles to sell Upadeshamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is actually following, although it's not apparent to those who want to follow by the form only, without catching the spirit, that now is the time. The time has come for preaching what Rupa Goswami came to this world to give, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to give. That has been amplified, that has been sounded on a big drum. Now is the time for preaching that. So we'll actually be under the supervision of Rupa Goswami if we follow his instructions as they are given in Parampara. That's some discussion of the first sentence of this preface. Is there any comment that Bhakti Vigna Vinasham Narasimha Maharaj would like to make? Or any others? Or questions? There's a mic here for questions and... Yeah, you going to say something, Maharaj? Yeah, all right. Please pass over the mic.
On that point you're making about Prabhupada and Nugans.
Please speak into the mic.
On that point, Prabhupada and Nugans, very good point.
Yeah, they've hijacked the term. It doesn't belong to them.
It's not following what Prabhupada would. In other words, Prabhupada is saying, if you follow Prabhupada, it's your Rupa Nuga, you're following the acharyas before and after.
That's a very important point, because they say Prabhupada just made up some system which is not according to Shastra, and it's not according to tradition. And they say Prabhupada can do that, but we have to see that Prabhupada is a Rupanuga. He's not. If we say that Prabhupada has established, this is the point, that there are principles which are given in Shastra and there are details. So we may say that taking initiation from a guru is just a detail, because you can take initiation from it. You can take initiation from someone who's not visibly present to us also. But actually this principle of anugatya, of submission and surrender, that is to be offered to a person who is visibly present among us. So if we say that Prabhupada he can overstep this principle, actually, although they in the name of praising Prabhupada, they're converting him into something like Sai Baba, who just is a self-proclaimed avatar with no reference to Shastra. So actually, they're breaking the parampara by saying this. Prabhupada is a follower of the previous parampara, and he came to transmit what the previous acharyas has given. This is also very important. Just like how to understand these principles. Prabhupada said, okay, you can wear Western dress for going and preaching, but that's not a principle. It's not that we worship the deities in jeans and wearing Nike shoes. So we have to see how Prabhupada is transmitting the parampara teachings in very unusual circumstances. But it's not that that Prabhupada made changes doesn't mean that he rejected the previous traditions, but rather he was transmitting them in the best manner possible, considering the circumstances, considering that you can't meet, as Prabhupada wrote in one purport, that it's not possible to change the customs of a country immediately. Therefore, he says, sometimes I'm criticized for letting the boys and girls in our Krishna consciousness movement mingle, but it's not possible to change the customs of a country immediately. Therefore, we have this policy. He didn't say it's a principle. He said it's a policy. It's not that the previous tradition of, which is based on Shastra, Matra Swastra Duhitrava Navi Viktasanobhavet Balavan Indriya Gramo Vidvansana Pikarshati. It's a Shastric principle that one should not mingle closely even with one's mother, sister or daughter, because even the mind of a learned person can become agitated by doing so. So it's a social principle meant for spiritual advancement that there should be reserve and in the dealings between the sexes. Now this principle is totally thrown out in modern Western life because the principle of modern Western life is sense gratification. So if we think that, well, Vedic culture, it's just some culture, and Western culture is just another culture, and they're all the same, so we can have Krishna consciousness just within the Western culture, and we just chant Hare Krishna and live as Westerners. It doesn't work, because Western culture is meant for sense gratification, which is works as the opposite of that culture which is meant for spiritual advancement. So that Prabhupada didn't immediately insist on having standards of separation between the sexes as was current in India at that time, doesn't mean that he rejected the principle, but he was simply seeing how it's possible to introduce Krishna consciousness into a culture which is far removed from the ideal. That doesn't mean that the ideal has changed or that there is no ideal. So these, if we don't understand these points, then we misunderstand them. And then comes trouble.
In some ways it seems ridiculous.
Please, Mike.
Yeah. In some ways it appears that we bring the trouble upon ourselves by our negligence of Prabhupada's instructions.
Yeah. Whatever real problems we have in our movement are not caused by governments or anything. It's our own neglect of Prabhupada's instructions. If we simply follow that, then everything will be perfect. Yeah, no, they wouldn't have come up.
Most of.
Yeah, that's true to some extent. But there, even people left when Prabhupada was personally present here. His personal, so there is the willingness of the jiva to act against their own self-interest, even in the very presence of Prabhupada, even in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. His own personal servant left him to go for some very low class sense gratification. So that's one consideration, but there is also, there is also devotees haven't been treated as well as they should. Among Prabhupada's instructions, there are ones which can be, they're very clear, are very clear in their application. Everyone should go to Mangala Arati. It's very clear. But then we should treat others in a way that their Krishna consciousness is encouraged. It's not something that you can very clearly define. It's more difficult to put that into practice, isn't it? It's not a cut and dry, to use that idiom. It's not something clearly defined. So it requires maturity and advancement in Krishna consciousness to understand these principles. Prabhupada, nowadays it seems to me, my subjective opinion, that we have an idealized or sentimentalized concept of Prabhupada as being a nice old man who patted babies on the head, which he did. But he was also very, very heavy. And what I saw, I mean, I joined the movement in 1975, but which means late in Prabhupada's preaching Leela. But I saw, and myself and the great majority of devotees, their attitude towards Prabhupada was one of tremendous awe. And Prabhupada didn't try to pop that with everyone. He had a very regal bearing. He was, you know, he was the guru. He was on top. So, and he was very heavy and could be very cutting, but Prabhupada's cutting, in most cases, because the devotees had that attitude of submission towards him, they accepted that and it helped them advance in Krishna consciousness. In some cases, they didn't. They became offensive and went away. So you can never tell. This festival is supposed to be, the theme of it is loving relationships. Maybe I should give a seminar on that. I already did, actually. A few years ago, I gave a seminar in Slovenia on love and peace. So, but what? Unless we define what love is, just like Rupa Goswami defines in here, or not defines, but he gives some indications of loving dealings, then unless we clearly understand what love means, then if we just talk words like love, compassion, it'll just be mundane. Unless we have a clear understanding of the spiritual implications of love, compassion, fair dealings and all this kind of thing, then we must necessarily bring in our mundane conceptions. Although these things should be done, caring for the bodies of devotees and this and that, that should be done, but it's not the main thing. I remember seeing the compassion of devotees in the time when we joined. I think you were in New York in 75, wasn't it? I was in London. We used to see the compassion of devotees exhibited in ways which nowadays people criticize that, and they say, well, devotees treated me so roughly. But that roughness was like forcing them to get up for Mangal Arati. They may think, well, you know, I'm so rough, they forced me. But that's compassion. You may say, well, it would have been better if I slept. But no, it's better if you get up. So what's compassion? He's feeling, he doesn't want to get up, it's cold, there's no hot shower, and I'd rather sleep. It's nice in the sleeping bag. But the compassion is, sometimes the methods of getting up were unconventional. It's a long, steep flight of stairs in Berry Place. And to get thrown down them in your sleeping bag is not the best way to start the morning, but you could just get up. That's also there. So is it compassion or is it mixed with our own Rajagun and all this? I don't know. I don't want to get into too much mental speculation about this, but first we should understand what is love and compassion before trying to follow in the footsteps of Mother Teresa or something like this, whose love and compassion was useless. That's why people praise her so. Useless people praise her. Based on rescuing people's bodies. people live their whole life on the street in Calcutta, and then she'd have people going around looking for dying people. That after spending their life on the street, she'd put them in a home so they could die in a home. And if they got better, back on the street. Looking after lepers. Well, it's useless. I mean, it's better than... Definitely Mother Teresa was a lot better than Hitler. So, she got the Nobel Peace Prize. Henry Kissinger got that also. After orchestrating the bombing of Vietnam and Kampuchea, when they found out it wasn't politically viable anymore, they negotiated peace and got the Nobel Peace Prize. So yeah, it's better. But it's real compassion means to give knowledge and the means by which people can get free from birth and death eternally. Otherwise you have a leper colony and they're sitting in the leper colony forgetting Krishna, then it doesn't really help them much. Helps their bodies. It reinforces the concept, the bodily concept of life. I have a leprous body. It's being helped. All right, any other question, comment? Want to pass over the mic or move over to the mic? All right, well, why don't you think about it and come back when you can make it understandable. Well, be brief and be understandable also.
You told that devotees are going to Los Angeles airport to sell devotees in khaki clothes. Yeah. And I was there doing the same service. I got the mercy from the temple president. You were there at that time, summer 2005. And it happened that I was shocked seeing the devotees doing the service at the airport because the way they were approaching people. So maybe I was wrong because I was shocked because you just gave a lecture saying that you can go to the airport in Los Angeles and sell the books in coming clothes. And why I was shocked because devotees were pointing out the clothes of the clients in the airport. They were saying, "Oh, you have a nice hat. Can I talk with you for a while?" And then this would be the introduction for selling the book. So you said in your lecture that we should be submissive to the acharyas and to the Goswami and all the acharyas. So the question is, how would Rupa Goswami sell a book?
Rupa Goswami, all right, that's the question, all right. Well, Rupa Goswami, he doesn't sell books, actually. That is not his service. His service is to Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samsthapako. His service is to collect the information in the books and collate, put all the information, not just information, but realization, put it together. Different people have different services. So by the mercy of Rupa Goswami and by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have the opportunity to distribute this. It may be shocking that... I remember once in London I was distributing a book. I had Chaitanya Charitamrita. I stopped someone, and one devotee I was distributing with, he was standing next to me. And I started reading from on the dust jacket that Sri Chaitanya was known as a great philosopher, and I think it said something like social reformer or something. And the man interrupted me and said, "Well, isn't he considered an incarnation of God?" And this is, you know, London, 1976. Even in India, people hadn't known it about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a devotee sat next to me and said, "Yeah, you should have said he was God. You see, he." I was just reading what was on the. If you'd just given me time to read two lines more, I would have said that. So, well, one of the devotees who goes to LAX year after year after year is Bhrigupati Prabhu, who's here now. And the very fact that he's going year after year after year and is so enthusiastic to do so, he goes on Sundays also, he doesn't take a day off. How could we, what keeps him going? What do you think? In the beginning, devotees distribute books and then mostly they go on to some other service. But what keeps him going year after year after year? He's becoming an old man now, but it would seem to me that he's developed some compassion for the jivas. He knows the value of these books and he's very much concerned with getting them to the people there. Now, how to do so? If we approach someone and say, "Excuse me, sir, Rupa Goswami," you lost him already. So there may be something to get the attention of the person. People are very much in the bodily concept of life. Krishna did that with Vrikasura, who was chasing Lord Shiva. And first of all, he told him that you must be very tired, the body is very important, you should look after your body. And Vrikasura thought, yeah, that's right. Krishna didn't speak to him that, atato brahma jignyasa. He didn't tell him that. He's not on that level to hear that. So he is a demon, and he got his attention on the level of his being a demon, on the platform of his body. So our book distributors may also do that, and it may be shocking that this knowledge, which is far, far above the latest fashion hairstyle. In fact, if you read Prabhupada's books, you'll say that foolish people, they have different fashions. Every day they change their hairstyle. But in our Krishna conscious movement, we have one fashion, shaved head and shika. So that's in Prabhupada's books. So to get their attention so that they can... That's their Prabhupada. I remember myself personally hearing Prabhupada say that when someone asked Prabhupada, devotee asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, how do we preach?" And Prabhupada quoted Prabodhananda Saraswati, that you approach a person and you say to him, "My dear sir, you're so wonderful, you're so great," and then the person will think that, yes, this person has actually understood. So, so what do you want? And then you tell him that you give up all your rascal hogwash and surrender at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's a preaching technique. It's not necessarily justifying everything that everyone does in book distribution. We should be careful also how we distribute books. That is a fact. And in the early days of our movement, especially in America, we weren't, and we're still suffering for that. So it is important how we deal with people, and devotees are more conscious of that nowadays. But we shouldn't be so sensitive about the feelings of people that we don't give them any books. I came to, somehow I'm talking about London a lot here, my bodily concept of life. I came to London in about, when was that? Anyway, 79 I think it was, after being away for about 2 years. And there was the midday program in the Soho Street Temple. They invite people to come and take lunch. And afterwards, people were going out and there was a book table. And someone picked up the Science of Self-Realization. They looked at it. They said, "How much is it?" And the devotee said, it's £2, I'm afraid. And I'm afraid, for the benefit of those who don't know, it's probably British English. In America also it means it's kind of expressing regret that actually it's a very high price and it's like putting you off. And so he put it down and I said, why did you say that? You should have said, it's only £2. The knowledge in it is... He said, well, I was told to say that because we don't want to show us... We don't want to make an impression like that we're very greedy to take their money. So, and you go, it's the opposite extreme. That you discourage them from buying the book. So, you should say, yeah, it's only £2. That just covers the printing cost, but the knowledge you get in this, you can't buy with every penny in the whole of Great Britain. It's invaluable knowledge. So we should be sensitive, but sensitive also. But some aggression is needed to preach. Unless you're somewhat outgoing and enthusiastic, and you really want the person to take the book, they're not going to take it. In America, especially. They're not even going to give you the time of day. So, how to balance the two? It's not possible to keep it fully balanced, because you never know how people are going to react. What if you can approach one person in one way, and he'll say, oh yeah, that's great, I'll take the book. And he likes. And someone else... The same, you approach them the same way and they become offended. You can't tell. That's a risk in preaching. So we shouldn't consider that because some people get upset that our preaching should stop, or we not necessarily that we have to alter it. If many people are getting upset, that it either means that we're really preaching very well, or we should adjust something. In fact, if more people were upset, it would be better, because that would mean that they're listening to our message. If they're upset because of that, that would be good. Why are they not upset? There's something wrong. We're not preaching strongly enough. We're not preaching clearly enough. It's if the public like us, we should examine why. If they like us for the right reasons, it's good. If they don't, then we've become insignificant.
Thank you. So, on one hand, if Rupa Goswami...
Time is up. But we're going to get all our vignas, all our obstacles destroyed by Vigna Vinashan Maharaj. He's heavy. He's not giving the mic. Come on, we'll use our sannyasi strength here, or what is it called? Position. Protocol.
Rupa Goswami is teaching, you know, Yukta Vairagya, using everything for the service of Krishna. But Rupa Goswami's own life, you know, you see him living like the Babaji lifestyle of Vrindavan, you know, writing...
No, the Babaji lifestyle is imitation of Rupa Goswami. He is the real. He's living like that because he's not eating because he's, you know, he doesn't even think about it. Someone may say, bring him some chickpeas and say, okay, I'm going to get back. Others are imitating. Yeah, so that means for ourselves we should live simply. There shouldn't be any... If someone comes and gives us $10 million... It shouldn't affect the way we live, because we should give it all to Krishna. I was saying our sannyasis, they're simple brahmacharis, and they become more luxurious or opulent after they take sannyas. Well, it's a contradictory, or what's the... I don't know. I can't think in English. It's paradoxical. That's the word. Service of a sannyasi, to accept the service of others. So, One can do so when one is anasaktasya vishayan, yataham upayundita, nibandha krishna sambandha. When one sees everything in relationship to Krishna, then someone who might, for himself, he'd be quite happy going around in rags, but people say, here, take this, nice cloth, all right. And going in the bus, here, here's a taxi, all right. We better finish, because rules and regulations, before we come to Raga Marg, we have to follow the rules and regulations. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow it will be at 5:05. You got that? 5 minutes past five in the evening. Why it's 5 minutes past five and not 5 o'clock? I don't know. But it's the rule. And we have to follow it very strictly. Prabhupada says here we have to follow very strictly. So 5:05 in the evening, not 3:30 as is printed in the brochure for the festival. Yeah, announce, please announce. I've written some books which are available here if anyone would like to purchase. I'm trying to sell them. Yeah, books are available in English, Tamil, Hindi, Bengali, Telugu, etc. Actually, I don't have the Bengali books. I have to get the Bengali books. I should do that immediately.
You're thinking whether to use this after the class or not? You're going to be kind of bothered with the field.